It is so important that he and she bears aren't the same.
Actually, it's, is it so important?
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, let me start all over.
Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and today we have a very special guest to discuss a very, very special book. You might know him from the Flophouse podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Stuart Wellington.
Thanks for having me, Phil. I'm excited to talk about these bears.
Yeah. These are some bears, four of them.
I mean, there's way more than four bears in this book, but I don't want to spoil it just yet.
Four primary bears, and then we'll get on to some other bears.
Okay. That's fair.
So, welcome. And today, for those of you who don't know, because how would you, unless you looked at the title of the episode, I guess, we're discussing the Berenstain Bears, No Girls Allowed.
No girls allowed.
None. Not a one. And now, you sort of backed into my attention with this book because you happened to mention this story on an episode of the Flophouse once.
The Flophouse, the bad movie podcast that yes. I am a co-host of. Yeah, I guess there was a moment where our Venn diagrams collided, where bad movies and references to Berenstain Bear books. We are revealing that I have some history with this specific Berenstain Bears book.
Yeah. And where does that come from?
Oh, I read it as a child and recently as an adult. But no, it was I read a lot of these books as a child. And this was the one that really stuck with me because of the really cool fort.
Would you get a glimpse of on the cover?
I remember the discrepancies between the fort that is pictured on the cover and the fort that we see later on in the story, and being kind of confused that they were definitely different forts. My little child brain couldn't handle that.
Yeah, did the Berenstains have access to their own artwork? We don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
And it is, I think it's one of those covers and stories that really, really hits a kid hard because it contains the Impossible Clubhouse.
Yes.
Like the thing that you're supposed to have as a child, but I don't know. Did you have a clubhouse as a child?
When I was a child, like, I always wanted a really cool clubhouse, and I always had these really complicated ideas and plans for them. And then we would start working on it, and I'm sure I would be this like crazy authoritarian like taskmaster to my brother and my friends to like match my vision, this like crazy director character that I guess I am. But then, of course, I could never, my reality could never match my dreams. And right. I would always get kind of bored with the project or distracted, and it would be left unfinished. So I never had anything this, well, I never had a cool completed clubhouse ever, mm-hmm. let alone one as cool and crazy on a little island as the bears had.
Well, perhaps the reason you never had the drive to finish it was because there was never a little girl you hated so much that you had to build a fortress to keep her out.
That's certainly true. I didn't have like a nemesis that I had to create like a redoubt to keep her away from me.
Well, speaking of which, let's take a walk through No Girls Allowed. There's so much to unpack in this little book. There's so much about like gender disparity and like expectations of what kids are supposed to do, and there's like sportsmanship and bad sportsmanship, and
yeah,
just there's stuff I like about it, stuff I don't like about it. So why don't you tell us what happens in this book?
Okay, well, it opens, its title page is a beautiful splash page, mm-hmm. and my most recent time reading the book, it was as a PDF, which does not translate well to splash pages. But that's one of the things that really struck me with this book, and as a fan of comic books, like a well-laid-out splash page is really important to me. Mm-hmm. So we see the title page. We see the evil bear staring out at the evil younger boy bear staring out at Sister Bear, With, you know, the title card. And then we go into another splash page. This one is following the it's telling the story about how Sister Bear growing up was always wanted to play with Brother Bear and his friends. We see her chasing after them. She's way too small. She wants them to wait for her. She wants to join them in their running, their climbing, and their marbles. And in all those cases, she's not as good as they are. That she is almost like a weight or an albatross around Brother Bear's neck.
Yes.
She's ruining their fun.
She's a horrible presence.
Exactly. But at the same time, she's setting a standard for him. She is serving as this, like, figure who is just not as good as he is. So his self-confidence has always been buoyed by that.
Yes.
Now, fast forward to present day. She has grown up. And not only does she want to play with her brothers, though she used to be a nuisance because she would always bug them and not be as good at things, now she's an even worse nuisance because she not only plays with them, but she is better at these things than they are.
At literally everything.
Yeah, well, there's three activities that they've described. Running, climbing, and marbles.
But then we get into baseball.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, so they go into baseball. This is, once again, this is a activity that I think Brother Bear has been used to winning, and now he is set. Now Sister Bear is the one who is better at the game than either Brother Bear or any of his male friends.
Right.
And she's the, at this point, other than Mama Bear, who is kind of narrating a lot of this and serving as a voice of wisdom, I suppose, Sister Bear is the only female character that we see.
Exactly. So Mama Bear is taking this attitude of worrying about Sister because she's so good at what she's doing.
Yeah. She's worried that that she will, like, she will paint a target on herself, right, by standing out too much.
Yeah, because Sister joins the baseball game and immediately hits a home run, like way over the heads of all the other bears. Papa thinks it's great, but Mama brings up the notion of, how would you have liked it when you were a little boy if a little girl, like, outdid everything you did?
Yep, and that he is gobsmacked.
Yeah.
He can barely answer.
Yeah,
he realizes that
he has like a 1,000-yard stare.
Yep. And what I love about is in the background, you can see Sister Bear running the bases and celebrating. All the boys are standing and staring in dumb amazement, right, not even chasing the ball.
It's too far away. They could never catch that ball.
Yeah, the thread of life that connects them to their present day has been cut.
Yep.
And they're standing there dumbfounded, yeah.
And then she celebrates.
Oh, yeah. That's the big thing. Is she like dances around. She roosters about, crows. What, like cartwheels?
Mm-hmm. She does war whoops, which are, besides annoying, also, you know, a little racist.
Yep. Yeah, that's
She's
true.
She's running around doing war whoops. And the boys have gathered into like a Three Stooges-esque trio with their arms crossed, glaring at her.
Well, there's four panels. They begin like kind of confused, and then you can see them getting angrier and angrier, and they slowly come together to like mash together to form this anger blob.
This like three-headed dog of
yeah, a three-headed dog of disapprovement.
Can she overcome this dog? We'll have to find out. Now, I like the way that the you don't even really need the narration there. Like the illustrations take you through it pretty well.
Absolutely. Yeah, as I said, they in all these panels up to this point, we get a pretty clear picture, a pretty clear story. And I'm guessing, I mean, I haven't gone back and looked at the Berenstain Bear books in a while, but I'm assuming a lot of them are probably good at that they're designed for an audience who may not necessarily be able to understand all the text.
Well, yeah, and Stan and Jan got their start in like illustration. And,
yeah,
you know, they were doing huge, they were actually doing, got famous for doing these two-page splash pages that would just show dozens of people interacting, you know, to show like city life, to show modern life, like in Atlantic Magazine. And that's kind of what made them their name, was they were really good at narrative illustration.
Yeah, it's definitely a skill set, and it's something that as an adult I can really appreciate, and I'm sure as a child though I couldn't have explained it, I probably also appreciated it as a child. So we fast forward a little bit to a point where we've got enough backstory, and now we see Sister Bear in the present day. She goes out to find Brother Bear and his friends, her playmates, her usual gang, and they're not around. So she decides, okay, they're not around. I'll do my own thing. She picks wildflowers. She jumps rope with butterflies.
As she does, yep.
Yep. But then the next day, there's still no boys. I guess Brother Bear has moved out of the house. Right. Or he's been leaving before dawn, coming back right after dusk.
And bringing the entire neighborhood with him.
Yeah, exactly. She is left in this empty town. So she continues to do things on her own, tea parties, reading books. But after 3 days, she starts to wonder, wait, where did all these cubs go? At first, it was like, oh, at last there's time now to read my books and have my my tea parties.
Right.
But now I kind of wish I could beat the crap out of some kids at climbing or marbles.
Right. It's almost Twilight Zone-esque, her isolation.
So, and she revisits all the scenes of her previous victories, the marble circle, which as a kid, I remember reading this book and being like, they have their own like marble circle, like with a circle drawn in it. Like, that's crazy. That sounds awesome.
You know, things were different back in 1986.
Yeah. Well, I was 6 years old then, so I probably would have wanted a marble circle. And the and eventually, after in her searching, she hears a voice. And, of course, Brother Bear and the cubs are in the thicket. They're in the woods over by the old frog pond. And she finds, hey, I found the cubs. They are working on this super cool fort on an island with a drawbridge.
Yeah, let's talk about this fort. Let's stop and talk about the first time we see this fort. It's a really intimidating picture.
What do you mean by intimidating? Explain that.
Well, there are six cubs working on the clubhouse, three on the outside, two on the outside, one hanging out a window, and three you only see from the nose up glaring out the windows. None of them look happy to see Sister. It's presented in very dark shadows, and it's not so much a clubhouse as a fortress. This is a keep. They have built something to keep someone out.
Yeah, there's a drawbridge with these cool little pulleys. I guess not pulleys. I guess they're just winding mechanisms. There's a barrel. There's a flag. It's not a particularly large clubhouse, I suppose. No. It would be small for six cubs to be hanging out in. I do like that they are making the effort to paint their clubhouse.
Oh, yes. They've shingled the roof.
And there's like a thicket of berries in the background, and there's frogs hanging out. It is interesting, though. I was always wondering about the drawbridge, because the only reason you would pull up the drawbridge is when you don't want somebody else to come in. But if no one from the clubhouse is there, the drawbridge would have to be down, right?
Right, right.
So just anybody could go in there.
Anybody can go in while you're not there, but
if Sister Bear just woke up early enough,
oh, right.
She could outrun the other boys and get there first. But, that's splitting hairs.
Yeah, I'm going to assume that they've been working on this thing for the last 3 days.
Yeah, and once again, this is the model of what I wanted a clubhouse to be.
Yeah.
With drawbridges and flags, and to look like a cool little house as opposed to like a crappy collection of sticks that I like collected.
Well, and it looks so simple. Like it looks like something you could, you cut the boards into these shapes. There's a couple of pulleys. There's some vines.
Instead of rope, using vines to pull things.
I guess you strip some tree bark, you make your shingles.
Yep.
And you build a little watchtower and some windows and a drawbridge, and you're all set.
Yeah, fill it with angry bears.
Fill it with angry little bears, and you've got yourself a clubhouse.
So obviously Sister Bear sees this, and she says, oh, this is dope. We got a cool new clubhouse. I'm so glad you guys did this. Now I'm going to celebrate a little bit, I guess, to show dominance. She cartwheels, she war whoops again, only to find while she's celebrating, the boys reveal their big sign, the Bear Country Boys Club. No girls allowed.
And a pretty nicely lettered sign. They reveal their motivation at this moment. This house wasn't built for fun. It was built out of spite. This is a spite house.
Yeah. They created this place for them to hide out in the woods with the frogs and don't have basically one, like, only one girl is really the problem here.
Right.
And it's Sister Bear.
Right.
They could have said the no Sister Bears allowed. Yes. Would have communicated the same message.
And you brought up that it looks like a pretty small clubhouse. Like, it looks pretty cramped. There has to be, okay, so there's two windows in the front. Well, one in the door, but there's two windows, one that a bear can look out of above the other window. So they have to be standing on something. Otherwise, there's probably not a whole lot to do in this clubhouse except not be around Sister.
Yeah, I mean, we never see the inside of the clubhouse, really, right?
Right, no. The only time you see any of the inside is that splash page at the beginning where they're looking out. But it's kind of like a playset from the 80s that, like, looked really cool on the outside. But if you open it up, it's just a bunch of empty space for, like, your He-Man figures.
And that's kind of the thing for me was... I always wanted a cool clubhouse, and I was so excited about the look of it, but I never really wrapped my head around the logistics of what you could do with the inside of a clubhouse. Like, as long as the outside looked cool.
Yeah, I assume it was meetings? Is that what you did in a clubhouse? Like, you met?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
You traded baseball cards?
Yeah, you wouldn't want to leave your stuff out there, because it would get ruined.
Yeah, it's
outside, there's bugs.
Right. That's what I had my bedroom for, though. Like, I would have friends over, and we'd hang out in my bedroom.
I guess, but you can't, like, make a drawbridge for your bedroom, though.
So this may not come as a surprise. I was never much of an outdoors kid.
Okay.
But I did have friends who loved to, like, be hands-on and do stuff.
Yeah.
And so I had friends who would build clubhouses.
Okay.
Like, who would build structures and would always be like, hey, let's go build a clubhouse. And they'd actually have, like, a pile of wood and, like, nails and hammers. But I would just kind of, like, walk away.
Okay.
Because that really wasn't my... So I probably missed out on a lot of this simply because I didn't want to get
involved. Call me when it's finished.
Right. I've got a clubhouse. Actually, it's called my house.
Yeah.
And I can have all kinds of activities in there.
Yep, my Nintendo works in there.
Yep.
So while she's celebrating, she sees the sign. Once again, she is a little bit shocked because she realizes that they don't want her around. And then to put an exclamation point on it, they pull up the drawbridge.
And they had to have been planning this.
Yeah.
Like, this, they were just like, when she shows up, I'm going to put out the sign. You guys, stick your arms out and wheel up this drawbridge. And it's got to happen like that. Sign, pause, crank, 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 crank. Because we got to do this for maximum effect to hurt this poor little girl.
Well, yeah. And they were like, you know what? She's going to show up and she's going to start celebrating and doing her war whoops.
Yep.
I mean, if they knew her this well, you would think they would be better at certain games than she is. Right. Like, if they can read her so well, maybe they're just playing the wrong games. Like, they should be playing poker or, I don't know, Risk or something.
And so they pull up this drawbridge, which, again, it looks remarkably simple construction-wise. Like, it looks like it would work. If you built this thing, it looks like it'd work.
Yeah. At least to a child, this looks 100%. Like a structure, this all makes sense. You're using vines, etc.
They've somehow bored hinges into the rocks.
Yep.
At the bottom.
That also makes sense. Those might be those fake rocks that you would use to, like, hide a key or something.
But, you know, at least, I'd say at least 40 hours of work went into this. At least.
Yeah, that's 3 days. That makes sense.
Yeah, you put in about 16 hours of work a day.
Yeah.
Up before dawn.
They're kids. Little kids like to work.
Yeah, they love it. Little kids are really good at sticking with a complex plan several days in a row, about 16 hours a day.
So Sister Bear's first reaction to this is she's hurt. She's heartbroken. And she yells, "It isn't fair," and then she runs home.
And Papa hears about it. And he gets upset.
Now, I think it's interesting that it's a fairness issue. I guess that is bringing up the idea that it is like it's not fair to exclude somebody on the basis, I'm assuming in this case, she believes it's on the basis of her gender.
Right. I mean, that's what the sign says.
Yeah. And that's what's not fair. I'm guessing it isn't fair that they, I don't know, did all the work and get to enjoy the fruits of their labors. But Papa Bear backs her up. He agrees it's not fair, and his first decision is, I'm going to go destroy the that clubhouse. I'm angry at something, and I am going to physically hurt it.
And it's funny because, I mean, I've read a ton of these books now in order, and this is the first time we ever really see Papa Bear express his emotions, like, in violence. Like, yeah. he gets angry, and he's, like, banged the table, and he's yelled, and he's screamed at his kids more than enough times. This is the first time he's like, I have no words. I am going to put my hands on something and make it not exist anymore.
Yeah.
And he grabs her hand and is like, come along.
I do love that panel of Sister Bear and Papa Bear walking, like, stomping out with matching, like, eyebrow furrows.
Yeah.
Like, they are on a mission to go deal with this problem. And yet Mama Bear is standing in the background, you know, being the voice of reason, like, oh, you think you're going to do that, do you? And she guides them on the proper path. She reminds them that, of course, that they're being unfair. Sometimes boys act that way,
yep.
But then so do girls. And whoever does it is wrong. And she gives the message here that the important thing is not whether you are a boy or a girl, but the sort of person that you are. And that it, and be that as it may, you can't make cubs want to play with you, which Papa Bear understands at this point. Sister Bear, she is still steaming. She still is trying to drag Papa on to destroy this clubhouse. But then they come up with a better plan. They realize, why don't we make our own cool clubhouse? Of course, Sister Bear thinks, no boys allowed. Those boys are terrible. But that's not the thing. They don't need to worry about a no boys allowed sign. They need to find some other members. And find members they do.
And before we get into who these members are, I want to go back a little bit to what Mama says. She says, you know, like, what you need to do is you need to make your own club. Since the boys won't let you in their club, you need to start your own. And
yeah.
And when I was a kid, that made sense to me. Like, well, yeah, like, if they don't let girls in, then girls should start their own thing. Looking back on it now, that's kind of terrible advice, because she's asking Sister to change her attitude, but they're not expecting the boys to give in any way. They're expecting all the girls to kind of, like, shift their positions.
And I don't want to jump ahead, but I can only assume that the boys are not only going to see the error of their ways, but they are going to be delivered some harsh justice crime of unfairness.
Yeah, it's going to be terrible for them.
I do like these two panels here where Papa and Sister Bear are, like, storming out, and Mama Bear is kind of standing there providing wisdom with her hands on her hips, mm-hmm. or arms crossed, and the way she's positioned. At first, she's standing behind them in both pages, so it looks like they, like, stomp past her, go outside, only to find her already out there.
That's true. Yeah, somehow she gets ahead of them again. Well, I think Mama exists in some of these stories. She exists solely in authoritarian poses.
Like, yeah.
She knows where to stand in a room to get her point across. Either that, or she has, like, cardboard standees of herself positioned everywhere.
Yep. I love Mama Bear's dress and her matching hat. Oh, it's great.
Yeah, it's all she wears. In later books, actually, when Mike Berenstain takes over, Mama Bear adopts a large pink vest and a different hat, because Mike Berenstain hates drawing dots.
Okay.
It's a lot of dots.
Yeah. That's funny. Okay, so you want to get to her Sister Bear's new group of friends?
Yeah, who are these kids?
So this is a group of friends mainly formed of the sisters of the boy bears, the boy cubs, who were angered by the presence of the No Girls Allowed cub.
Yes.
Which, I don't know, I think that's a rebranding. I think their actual name is the... with the Bear Country Boys Club. No Girls Allowed was just a caveat.
Yeah. No Girls Allowed's not the name of the club. That's not how they identify themselves. They're just a boys club.
So, and it turns out that these sisters, as they're described, all have things to bring to the table, whether it's a rope ladder, a mm-hmm. spyglass, a tin can phone system.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, all these things. And then, of course, Papa Bear builds them a fort.
Right.
He builds them a clubhouse on the site of Sister Bear's greatest victory of outclimbing all the boys.
Right, right. It says that he helps them build a very fine clubhouse. We don't know how much he helped. It may have been a lot. It may have been a little.
Yeah, it's left vague. But, it looks safe. There's railings. Mm-hmm. It's also very small. And there's, a curtain?
There's a curtain. There's a window. Presumably there's a door. You don't get up from below, so I assume there's a door on... Or maybe you get in from where the curtain is. I can't really tell.
They have a moon door in the basement in case they need to chuck a prisoner out.
Right. And they have the benefit of having a retractable ladder.
Yeah. So in case somebody they don't want shows up, they can pull that ladder up.
A retractable ladder and a very useful phone system for communication with the world below.
Yep. So at this point, Sister Bear says, "Haha! Finally, I've been itching to make this sign. Let's make this sign."
Yes.
And as she says, the reason we need to make this sign is the boys are just being mean because I outhit them and won all their marbles. They're bad losers. Mm-hmm. And here we get to the second point of this story.
Yes.
Which is Mama explains there's such thing as being a bad winner too, and that she's clearly inferring that Sister Bear is being a big braggy show-off, and Sister Bear, like, despite Mama not coming out and saying it, Sister Bear knows what's going on.
And which is?
Which is that she's being a show-off, and that she has been the instrument of her own unfair, terrible situation, that she has brought this upon herself.
Now, if one of the boy bears, like, say, Cousin Fred, who has the glasses...
Okay.
Suppose he had been the one doing the war whoops and the cartwheels. Do you think he would have been ostracized?
Probably not to the same extent. I would imagine that they wouldn't make a clubhouse and say, no Fred's allowed. They might not let him play the game, or they might stop playing the game. I mean, so I've definitely now, this is as somebody who has played many different types of games, whether they're sports, you know, I'm into athletics, clearly.
Obviously.
But also, I've played a lot of board games. I've definitely stopped playing games with people because, like, I have this buddy who every time something good goes for, like, something goes well for him in a game, he does this little, like, he does this little giggle. And it's so irritating. I definitely remember playing a game with him, and I was like, dude, if you do this, I'm going to hit you. And he did it, and I'm like, I said that in front of other people, so I have to carry through. So I had to go over and hit him. And this, I was a grown man at the time.
I was going to ask, how old were you when this happened?
I was like 25. But I warned him. I'm like, just don't do it. And he couldn't stop. I mean, I didn't, like, punch him in the face. No. I didn't, like, assault him. But I gave him a rosy Hertz donut on the shoulder.
Did he learn his lesson?
No, of course not. So that's the real, I guess the real lesson is violence doesn't solve anything. So with that part of homespun wisdom dispensed, Mama Bear decides that they're going to have an inaugural cookout of barbecued honeycomb and salmon to celebrate this new girls' club. And the sign at this point is forgotten. They don't have a sign on their clubhouse. Of course, the barbecue smells waft into the thicket, where the members of the Bear Country Boys Club are about to eat some berries that may or may not be poisonous. And then smelling the sweet smells of barbecuing salmon and honeycomb, which are catnip to baby bears, they follow the smell trails all the way to the barbecue, the plate of barbecued food, which is residing up in the Bear Country Girls Club clubhouse.
And they don't quite float while they're smelling, but they're pretty close to it cartoon-wise.
Yeah. They're basically a bunch of Monterey Jacks following the smell. And of course they get to the clubhouse only to find that the ladder has been pulled up, and the boys are forced to make a plea to the girls to climb up into the clubhouse, which is basically them just saying, "Something sure smells good." At which point the girls decide, "Oh, we'll give in to these boys."
Yep.
And the boys come up to the girls' club only to say, "Hey, this was delicious. This honeycomb and salmon. Let's go. Would you like to come back t- to our clubhouse for dessert, where the berry their berry crop is ripe for picking. Once again, could be poison berries. Only to we in the final page, we see the girls have agreed, and we see a line of cubs, boys and girls, arriving at the Bear Country Boys Club. The sign has been altered quickly to say "Girls Welcome," which seems weird.
It seems weird. Yeah, so this is still the Bear Country Boys Club, or it could be the Bear Boys Country Club for all for all intents and purposes. This is a this is still a boys club. Now they're letting girls participate in certain activities.
Yeah, but easily, as we can see how quickly the sign was changed, there's forever that threat that it could be changed back at a moment's notice.
Because he's like, I just ran ahead and did this. I still have this bucket of red paint.
Yep, he's holding it next to the sign. And then it just, the final line, the berries were delicious.
Yeah. So what have we learned?
Well, I guess we learned that nobody likes a bad winner.
Everyone likes bad losers. And wants to join their club.
Well, I don't think so. I mean, they don't really, the guys who are sore losers don't really suffer.
No.
There's no, they don't really have to pay for their actions here, right?
Not at all. They build a super cool clubhouse. Granted, they do it by themselves. They get to form their own club, and I guess the girls' clubhouse is just abandoned.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe we don't know this at this point. Yeah, no. I would argue that when I was growing up, I always assumed the boys' clubhouse was way cooler.
It is way cooler, and you do, I believe, never see this girls' clubhouse again in the entire history of the rest of Bear Country.
Do they ever go back to the boys' clubhouse?
You know, I was going to say they did, but now I'm thinking about it. I don't know if they do. I'm going to have to look ahead on that a little bit. It'd be a shame if they didn't.
Yeah, I mean, all the time and effort that went into the construction.
Still, kids are fickle.
Yeah, I'm assuming there's a future story where the girls' clubhouse just being chopped up and, I don't know, used for a bonfire in the Berenstain Bears bonfire story.
Or Sister Bear asks Papa for some help, and he's like, remember that time I spent a whole day building you a clubhouse? Where's that? Yep. Oh.
So He's a real jerk about it, is what you're right, saying.
Right. Well, let's look at this tree. Let's see how much fun you've been having in this clubhouse I built for you. Oh, no. Don't see any bears up there.
That's the one where they learn a lesson on passive-aggressive behavior.
Papa can be... I'd say all the bears can be fairly passive-aggressive. Mama Bear is probably the best example of it, but...
Yeah. I remember that I preferred the boys' clubhouse. I don't know if that's because I'm a boy. Mm-hmm. And I was always confused by the whole salmon and honeycomb thing, because as a child, that did not sound good at all to me. Right. Although they make it look very appetizing.
They make it look great. How does it sound now?
I don't know. I haven't had a barbecued honeycomb before, but it still doesn't sound like a particularly good pairing for me.
Right. I wonder if anyone has ever barbecued honeycomb.
I mean, clearly somebody has, right?
Would it just melt?
Probably.
I thought honeycomb was mostly like beeswax.
Yeah, maybe you would have to make it on... Maybe you'd have to use tin foil.
Yeah.
But even then, it would just turn into a puddle. I guess it would provide a honey glaze to the salmon. I guess that sounds good.
Yeah.
Although normally I would associate that kind of sweet and savory with like a pork dish. Although it would be weird for the bears to eat a pig. I feel like a pig is basically... Like, that's the next town over. That's
their neighbor. They've literally had pig neighbors.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, they also commune with butterflies, which means they can probably talk to the salmon as well.
Yeah. So, did you read this book when you were a kid?
I read this book many times when I was a kid.
Now, I remember when I was a kid, so I'm obviously a boy.
Yes.
And when I had a younger brother, and... The closest thing I had to a girl that I interacted with, even near my own age, was a neighbor who the sister of my next door neighbor. So, and we had a somewhat similar situation where it would be like three boys always running around and doing stuff, and then every once in a while, his little sister. This was my friend Justin and his sister Courtney, and there were certain things where like she was a better runner than any of us. And I mean, she wasn't quite as good at certain other athletic activities, but it was a thing where, like, we, you know, there were times where we ostracized her for totally jerky reasons.
Yeah.
And so reading this, like, even reading this now, I can't help but, like, see this little girl neighbor in Sister Bear. And also, I guess, my little brother as well. Yeah. Like, I had a, you know, I was an older brother. I had friends. I had a little brother. And he and I got in fights about stupid stuff all the time. And he would be better at me than some things. And I'm sure I didn't take that well.
See, for me, it was kind of the opposite. I was the younger brother of a sister.
Okay.
Who still am. And she was the athlete in the family.
Okay.
Like, she would play soccer. She was on the swim team. She was, you know, in the drill team. She was always outside, always running around with her friends. She was super athletic, super, super fit, super good at everything. And I was the little brother who would always want to tag along with her friends, this little nerd in glasses. And that's irrelevant, but that's what I was. And and so I guess I can sympathize more with sister. Not that I was ever better than anyone, but I know the feeling of, like, being left out and wanting to hang out with the cool older kids and making a nuisance of myself. Like, there were times when I would make such a nuisance of myself that my mom would, like, pull me aside and be like, you go into that room and you apologize for the way you were behaving. Like, because I was just trying to get their attention. So I was doing, like, stupid kid stuff. Like, I don't know, dancing around and making noises.
War whoops, cartwheels.
But not earned war whoops, just
yeah,
irritating sounds. And so, yeah, I wasn't competitive as a young kid. I didn't want to be, we had a group of kids, but it was always just kind of boys and girls in our neighborhood. So when I read this book, it was a little different for me. Like, I was always like, God, they're really, like, sister's just, you know, she's just trying to get attention, you know. She's just proud of herself and wants to be recognized for what she's done. Why are they being such jerks? Why are they ostracizing this poor little girl?
Okay. For me, reading this book, it was a lot of, like, it was all about the clubhouse. So it was everything leading up to it was all, like, that all needed to happen so that this cool clubhouse could get made. Sometimes you got to break some eggs. And then afterwards, the idea of, like, why would they leave that cool clubhouse?
Yeah.
They're being tricked out of their clubhouse by the siren smell of honeycomb. And it's a weird story. Like, I don't know. I wonder. I can't help but, like, think of the current, like, men's rights activist movement or, like, the Gamergate movement and feel like this story doesn't necessarily, like, in some ways it supports that mentality, because it is like the only person who suffers in this story is Sister Bear.
Right.
The boys suffer not at all.
Well, I have a feeling that, like, it's trying to do two things. Like, it's trying to show, like, the unfairness of the boy versus girls mentality, but it also is trying to make a point about bad sportsmanship. And the two ideas, they don't contradict each other, but the presence of one kind of undermines the message of the other. Like, if sister was a good sport and just happened to be better than the boys, and they still ostracized her because she was better than them because she was a girl. If they still ostracized her because they were embarrassed about the fact that a girl was better than them at things, that would be, to me, a more clear-cut message.
No, you're right. The idea that they have to add in a qualifier kind right. of to the situation. Yeah, it definitely muddies the waters a little right. bit.
So you're I have a 5-year-old daughter,
uh-huh.
and I read these books to her, and I always find myself, like, kind of editing the message, like what mama says, because I don't want her to get the idea that it's bad to be better than boys, or it's bad to be proud of your accomplishments, because I think girls get that sure. a lot. Like, you know, you don't want to show up the boys because it's not going to be good for anyone in the long run. And I don't want her to be a jerk. On the other hand, I want her to have that confidence. Like, what makes a little kid a jerk later in life can be really beneficial.
Okay.
Like, especially for a little girl, like, crowing about your achievements.
Yeah. Okay. So what you're saying is that explain that again to me.
Like, if you're going to have the message that Sister Bear, okay, cool it on the war whoops, cool it on the cartwheels. Like, no one likes that. That's bad for everyone. No one wants to see that. Like, boy or girl. But if the message was more like, it's great that you're proud of your accomplishments, and yeah, the boys need to learn that sometimes they're not going to be as good as other kids, even girls. But here's a good way to like show how proud you are. That's just not obnoxious in general. And guys, you're going to be faced with people and your peers your whole life who are going to be better than you at things. You can't kick out everyone who's better than you just because it makes you feel bad, especially if it's just because it's a girl. Like, I feel like there's a message there that's kind of getting lost in the whole, like, Clubhouse and Salmon storyline.
Yeah, the fact that, like, a high tide raises all ships, man.
Right, right.
Like, you're not going to get better at marbles by playing somebody that you beat all the time. You gotta, you'll get better by playing against Sister Bear, the marble expert.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like maybe Sister Bear knows something about marbles that you don't. Like, maybe it's time for her for you to be like, all right, well, what are you doing that is so much better than us? Like, what can we learn from you? Come into our clubhouse and teach us this lesson. Because they may as well just call their clubhouse the Bad Marbles Clubhouse at this point.
Yep. No marbles allowed because they don't have any left. Yeah, the sportsmanship message, I think, is where things become a little messy in this story. Because, I mean, even as a child, like, the idea of excluding somebody based on their gender was crazy. Like, why would you do that? That doesn't make any sense. The fact that it then becomes a story about, oh, well, the only reason she got excluded was because of the way she acted. Like, she kind of had it coming. Like, that's not cool.
Yeah.
That is not a cool message to give somebody.
Plus, like you said, the boys learn nothing.
They learn absolutely nothing.
Except that, like, if someone has something concrete to contribute to your club, you should let them in at least on a temporary basis. Like, the girls are let in because they had access to food.
Yeah, and I see no reason why. Like, obviously, Sister Bear may not behave this way anymore, but, like, by she'll continue to beat them at things, I would imagine, unless she's been, like, had that beaten out of her. But she'll continue to excel in activities, and they've already mentioned that that's a nuisance for them. Like, it's not just the celebrating. There's a nuisance to her beating them at everything.
Right.
And there's nothing that indicates to me that Brother Bear and his crew will not just give it another day or two and then change it back to a boys only.
Exactly, exactly. Like, this is a temporary truce, but the dynamics haven't changed.
Yeah.
And
it's a temporary ceasefire.
Yeah, and on Sister Bear's side, so this book, so I'm a stickler for continuity. Like, to me, like, the whole reason I started this podcast was I wanted to, like, see how these stories lined up continuity-wise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where this falls into the timeline, before Sister has actually made any friends.
Okay.
There's a book coming up several stories after this where Sister makes her first friend, Lizzie, who appears in this book. So I'm going to assume it's not the same Lizzie because Lizzie moves to town in that book. So this is a different Lizzie for listeners out there, different Lizzie.
Is she a lizard?
No, she's a bear. I think it's Elizabeth. But she, Sister is isolated. Like, these girls who start the clubhouse with her, I'm going to assume they are just sisters of Brother's friends and that they're not really close to her. So after the fallout from this book, in the beginning of The Trouble with Friends, which is the one where she makes her first friend, Sister is still alone. She's still isolated and she's still only playing with bugs and snakes. Like, literally, like, she's playing with bugs. And
yeah, she's clearly a more interesting character than Brother Bear.
Right. And what I'm saying is, after this book, she is excluded. Because The Trouble with Friends is going to start off with her not having any friends. And playing by herself. And Mother Bear saying, Sister really needs to make some friends. Because I think we see what happens after this. The boys continue to exclude her. The friends she supposedly made building the treehouse go back to their daily lives. Like, they had a temporary boost. They were all united by a common cause. But then they all disperse.
Yeah, they all got sick from the berries and never spoke of their clubs again.
Realized you can't actually barbecue honeycomb, Papa Bear. It doesn't work. It's not a real food. Yep. And they go to the winds, and so we're left with an isolated girl. So I think the message from this is, like you said, temporary ceasefire is only temporary.
I mean, that obviously having a understanding of the entire canon of the Berenstain Bears will help the understanding of this book.
Right. This book can only be read after that with a mounting sense of dread. Knowing what comes. It's like reading the Game of Thrones.
Sure.
Like, you know what's going to happen to these characters later on, and it's not going to be pretty.
You heard it here, folks. Berenstain Bears is like Game of Thrones.
So you said that you think Sister Bear is a more interesting character than Brother Bear. Why do you think that?
Well, because, I don't know. Obviously in this story, she learns a little bit more of a lesson, and that she's a character that we see a little bit of growth and development from, both mm-hmm. in her abilities in these activities, but also that she's the driving force in this story.
Yeah.
So I find her to be much more, and she's, as you said, she's kind of a loner, and there's something attractive about that kind of a character.
Yes. And Papa Bear learns not to go off half-cocked, fists raised.
Yep. Which as you said in earlier stories, anytime a problem would come up, he would run off and just bash things.
Right, he just smashed.
He would let his fists do the talking.
He would disappear into the woods. You'd hear some mm-hmm. sounds. We don't know what they were. He'd come back calmer.
Covered in Leonardo DiCaprio's blood. Topical.
Pop culture jokes. That's what we get. And yeah, so I'd say that Sister learns a bad lesson, kind of. I mean, she learns a good lesson about sportsmanship. She learns a bad lesson about her place in Bear Country.
Yeah.
Papa Bear learns a good lesson. You know, don't beat up your son's friends.
Uh-huh. And he gets a little project. He gets to help with the clubhouse. Mm-hmm. He gets to barbecue some stuff, show off his skills as a grill master.
Yep. Mama Bear learns that if she wants a little quiet, all she has to do is give Papa a project to help the kids out. She can go off and do whatever it is she's doing.
Yeah, large chunks of this story, she's at home drinking wine.
And Brother Bear learns that he can pretty much do whatever he wants. He's a guy. He's going to be okay. He's got it made in the shade. So overall impressions of this book?
Well, I think it is. I remember loving it as a kid, and it's aged a little poorly.
Yeah.
All the problems that we've talked about. It's not quite as good as I remember. Although, from a design standpoint, mm-hmm. I love the layout of these pages. I love how you could remove almost all the text, and you could easily tell this story. And I bet if you removed all the text, you could probably even tell the story in a way that is a little better for young girls.
Right. Which I do on occasion when I'm reading it to a young girl.
What about you?
Yeah, I think it's in a period of time when the Berenstains, it's what I kind of consider like not the height of their game, illustration wise, but yeah, it's a nice looking book. I would say, you know, if you're going to read it to your kids, it's probably a good jumping off point for these issues.
A place to start conversations, not the beginning and ending. Yeah,
right. Like, let's talk about what else they could have done. Let's talk about what Brother could have learned.
Brother needs to learn nothing. Mama Bear is all.
Yes. And you can always just point him in the direction of that super cool clubhouse, because if you want to encourage kids to start like trying to build their own things, just show them that picture.
Exactly. And that's the effect it had on me.
Yeah. Like, you can go out and build. I think it's great in that it shows kids running around their neighborhood. It shows them playing with each other. It shows them creating their own fun. You know, like, you see a lot of memes online about kids these days buried in their iPhones, and they don't know how to go out and ride a bike anymore. But I know what kids do, and I see kids in my neighborhood, like, running around all the time. I think it's a good example to, like, to show, like, no, just go out and have a good time. Like, play with
your friends. Really? You see kids running around in your neighborhood?
I would be
terrified if I saw kids. I'm also in Brooklyn, so when I see groups of kids running around, I'm like, oh, where are their parents? Somebody get these kids away from me. While I love the idea that unattended children will go off and have their own fun, whether it's finding bodies a la Stand By Me, or whether it's like this story where they're building clubhouses. I think that's great. When I grew up, that's in Indiana. That's kind of what we did. But it's kind of uncommon to see groups of kids without parents running around in Brooklyn.
Yeah. So Berenstain Bears, no girls allowed. Thumbs up, thumbs down, kind of thumbs halfway for some reason, thumbs other way for another reason.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my non-committal answer.
Thumbs in all directions.
Yeah, it's full of thumbs. That's what we're gonna close this book out with. Stuart, thank you for joining me. Do you have anything you want to plug?
Yeah, so I am a podcaster. And you can find me normally over at the Flophouse Podcast over on the Maximum Fun Network. And you can also find me on my Def Leppard History Podcast called Till Def Do Us Party. And that is spelled as complicated as possible. So just start plugging those into your browser and you'll eventually find it. Yeah, and you can also find me bartending in Park Slope, Brooklyn at Commonwealth Bar.
So if you're in Park Slope, stop by, say hi.
Complain about kids to me.
Yeah. For Deep in Bear Country, you can find us online at BerensteinBearcast.wordpress.com. We're on Twitter at BStainBearcast. You can write to the show at BerensteinBearcast@gmail.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. We'd love to hear from people. We'll be back next time with more Berenstain Bear information, knowledge, trivia. So I'm Phil Gonzalez. This is Stuart Wellington. Thank you for joining me again.
Thanks for having me, Phil.
And we'll see you guys next week, deep in Bear Country.